This is a special breaking news update from Up First and NPR News. The United States Supreme Court ended its term this year with two very important decisions about President Trump's financial records. At issue was whether the president's financial records, including his tax returns, had to be turned over to a New York grand jury as well as to Congress. The court ruled 7-2 in both cases. In one, it said the financial documents must be handed over to the New York prosecutor. In another, it said Congress won't get those documents, at least for now. So what, if anything, will the public get to see? That remains an open question. Let's turn to NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg. Good morning, Nina.
Good morning, David.
Okay, so let's start with the first of these two cases. This one was connected to a criminal investigation in the state of New York, right?
This is a grand jury subpoena, and the grand jury and the Congress or congressional committees subpoenaed essentially the same but not identical information from Trump's accountants, Mazars USA, and from Deutsche Bank and another bank, which together lent Trump businesses over the years billions of dollars. And Trump intervened in both cases to block the subpoenas. Well, today the Supreme Court ruled first in the New York grand jury case, and it was a clean kill for the District Attorney of New York, of New York County, Cyrus Vance. Those documents will go immediately to the grand jury. They've been packaged up for months, ready to go. The banks and Mazars never objected, but the president objected. Now, that objection is of no consequence, and they go directly to the grand jury, but of course, we won't see those for while they go into these and examine them for the purposes of their investigation.
Oh, so that means, I mean, among other things, President Trump's tax returns, which have been much discussed for some time now, where the public is not likely to see those anytime soon.
No. And we don't know the exact contours of this investigation. We know it's broad. We know it in, that one top investigator put it, the Deutsche Bank, more than any other institution, has the keys to the black box of Trump's empire. And this will give Vance a chance to open that black box. We also know that they're investigating allegations of criminal violations of hush money paid to porn star Stormy Daniels during the 2016 campaign. That's the only thing we know with any specificity. So okay, if we move on now to the congressional subpoenas, that's a lot muddier.
Right. So this is the second case where the court took what sounds like a very different stance here.
It's, as I said, it's muddy.
The Chief Justice,
the Chief Justice John Roberts wrote both opinions, and in this one he said, "Look, Congress, you didn't justify this well enough." And these separation of powers questions are very important, and we don't want to harm either the president or the constitutional power given to Congress to oversee and to legislate. But if you're going to get any of this stuff, you're going to have to go back to the lower court and prove why you need individual items, or at least make a better showing with greater specificity. And the lower court has to make further findings. And again, none of that's going to happen until after the election.
Oh, so this is basically the court saying, Congress, you may have the right to see these records, but you didn't do enough. Send it back to a lower court and try again.
It's an exquisite judicial punt.
Well, do you mind, Nina? I mean, this has been, I mean, can I call this a blockbuster term? We got a lot of significant decisions with some surprises, as you've said to us. I mean, what is your big takeaway from this term if you look at it broadly?
I would say that even though it was narrow, Trump lost a lot in his clashes with the Supreme Court and the positions his Justice Department took in the Supreme Court. Not all by any means, but he lost on his attempt to get rid of DACA. He lost on his position to overturn a four-year-old precedent in terms of abortion, narrowly, but he lost with Chief Justice Roberts writing the controlling opinion. He basically lost in these cases today, and if you have any doubt about it, what he said immediately tweeted out was, the Supreme Court case back to the lower court arguments continue. This is all political prosecution. I won the Mueller witch hunt and others, and now I have to keep fighting in politically corrupt New York, not fair to this presidency or administration. Courts in the past have given broad deference, but not me, he said.
Interesting. Well, hopefully we can say this will be the last term in a while that took place in the midst of a pandemic.
Yes. And I would, one other thing I'd add, that in the case giving the LGBTQ community employment rights under the Civil Rights Act, he not only lost Roberts, Gorsuch, his own nominee, Neil Gorsuch, wrote the opinion.
NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg, always great to talk to you, especially on mornings like this. Nina, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And I want to bring another voice in here. It's Jessica Levinson. She's a law professor at Loyola University, as well as host of the podcast Passing Judgment. Professor, thanks for coming on.
Thanks so much for having me. What a big morning.
Yeah, big morning. So what's your takeaway from these two decisions?
My takeaway is that if you listen to oral arguments over the phone, of course, because of historic oral arguments that happened not in
remotely.
Person.
Yeah.
That this is about where the court looked like it was going. And because if you think about what was going to happen with respect to the New York case, if they had ruled in favor of President Trump, what it means essentially is that every sitting president is absolutely immune, not just from prosecution, not just from indictment, but also from any sort of investigation. And this court simply can't do that. They're not just looking at President Trump. They're looking at presidents in the future. And they're saying, what about other defendants where the statute of limitations might run? What about evidence that you might lose? And so I think that decision is, you know, it's easy for me to say this morning, but that one was fairly predictable. The bigger question was going to be, what does the court do with respect to these congressional committee subpoenas? And this is just this perfect Goldilocks approach. It allows the court to make a decision, to look like it's treading a middle road, but it essentially punts. It means we're not going to get this information before the election. And it's, you know, it's every Supreme Court's favorite way of punting. They say, here's a new test. It's four factors. Lower court, you deal with it, and we'll
back
see
to you, lower court. See you later after the election. Could I just ask one specific question? We saw Justices Alito and Thomas dissent in both of these cases, even though they were kind of different rulings. Does that tell us anything?
It does tell us something. Obviously, we've seen Justices Alito and Thomas dissent pretty recently. We had 2-7-2 decisions yesterday, in fact, dealing with the religious rights of employers. And so it tells us that we weren't imagining it, that they truly are the conservative wing of the conservative court. What it also shows us is who was not dissenting. Of course, it was President Trump's two appointees, Gorsuch and Kavanaugh. I think that they probably realized they would just look like shills if they had voted the other way. This shows as united as possible of a Supreme Court. Roberts certainly wanted 9-0, but he got 7-2. That's not a bad day with this current court.
Jessica Levinson, law professor and also host of the podcast Passing Judgment, joining us on Skype. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
We appreciate you listening to this special update. Go to npr.org and tune into your local NPR station for more coverage of this story.